Oh yeah, bum, 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 bum. Well, hello everybody, blessings and peace on you. Boom, Open Door Praise Band right there, Open Door Worship, and a song that I wrote called Advent. That's what that's called. That's actually me playing lead guitar right there, and our worship pastor AJ was good enough to let me play that day. Most times he just kicks me off and says, no old folks allowed. That's what he says. He's no fun. It's no matter. I'm his boss. He doesn't listen to me. Dadgum. Anyway, whatever. So, guys, welcome, 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 guys. Today's podcast is actually going to be coming to you from one of our staff meetings that we do here on Tuesday mornings. It's strictly limited to our staff. We have lots of people. Can I please come to that? Nope. But you can listen to it on podcast. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for subscribing to this. Will you please tell your friends about Experiencing Real Life? Will you please tell your friends about, hey man, I listen to this podcast every week and it is such a great big blessing. Be sure and comment on this and give us a bunch of really cool stars. Now, if you want to only give us one star, can I please direct you to another podcast? Because that's not this one. Also, too, man, I want to tell you guys, man, as always, friends, we're taking on hell with a water pistol. And one of the things that we do here is every single week, we're like, okay, how do we make faith applicable? How do we make the prophetic applicable? How do we walk that out? And how do we make supernatural, just naturally super? How do we do that? How do we bring the super into the natural and constantly do that? So you know what, friends? Let's you and I get ready to go to we're going to a staff meeting here, and there's a room, I don't know, it has about 30 or 40 people in it, and it's on a Tuesday morning, and let's get ready to go there right now. Here we go. Well, hello everybody, blessings of peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Welcome to a podcast broadcast here at troybrewer.com. Hey, listen, if you have not yet subscribed to this, please be sure and subscribe to this. And I want to welcome you guys to a Tuesday morning here at the time that I'm actually recording this, because I'm in here with the staff of Open Door Church. Staff, will you join me in welcoming everybody here to this broadcast? Boom. Hey. Well, guys, I'm in here with the dream team, right on. And I've been gone to England for the past couple of days, and we were doing a Courts of Heaven conference with Robert Henderson, and I was hanging out with my good friends Ward Simpson from God TV and with the whole God TV family. Went and preached at a church of thousands of Nigerians that's called Spock Nation, and was there and got to do a lot of fun stuff. And I'm back here, been thinking about this meeting all week long. And so I wanted to go ahead and record this so that everybody could listen to this. Guys, if you would please, everybody open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. And I just got through sharing some personal things that I can't share with everybody publicly, but just some of the next level battles that we're fighting and how hurtful these things actually are. And I want to, as everybody here is turning to Genesis chapter 12 and all my friends that are listening all over the world, I want to tell you guys this, that I've been preaching a lot and been teaching a lot. I actually preached the same time that I was preaching across the pond. I was also preaching here at Open Door Church by video. And I was preaching on pain tolerance and that you only grow to the level that you can handle the pain, because growing equals change and change equals loss and loss equals pain. And we have to understand that. And if we don't understand that, we will become so offended and so hurt that we will think either we do not qualify for the next two place because it hurts so bad, or we cannot trust God with the next two place. And those are common things that all of us have to deal with. One of the cool things that I got to do this last week is I got to spend a lot of time with Scott Volk. You guys in this room in here, anybody in here know who Brother Scott Volk is? I want to encourage you guys to look him up, because he's way next level. And I've invited him to come hang out here, and he's just a good human being. He's just a really good guy to hang out with, and he's full of the Spirit of the Lord. He has a beautiful wife who these guys have been married for 30 years, and they're a great team. He's pastored churches all of his life, and he stepped away from all of that just to begin a ministry that does nothing but support Israel several years ago. Scott Volk with the V is his name. And when I was, we all did these different sessions on God TV, and on the session that he gave, he taught some of the principles that I'm going to teach you, but I'm going to put my own Troy Burr spin on it because I took it and I went, you know what? This is something that I really need to pay attention to. This is something I really and truly do need to pay attention to. And guys, I want to tell you how you let things impact you is on you. You know, you can be determined before you get to a certain place that you're like, hey, I'm going to let this thing impact me. And then you can actually forget it while you're there because you're thinking about something else. Or you can be determined all the way through. And then afterwards, somebody makes you mad in the parking lot. And then, you know, the birds come and steal the come and steal the seed, you know, before it even has time to germinate or to actually be planted. And because there's no depth, one of the reasons why people find no depth in their life is because of the things I'm talking about, that things get stolen at certain stages. And to be very honest, I was looking forward to hearing him speak, but I really wasn't expecting it to truly impact me. And as soon as he started speaking, I became aware and I went, you know what, this is going to be impactful. And I need to make room for this. You guys know what I'm talking about when you make room for something. And again, guys, this is on us. If you're just like, well, all I'm going to do is I'm just going to do a job and I'm not going to worry about any of this. So you won't make it. You won't make it in your marriage. You won't make it in your life. You won't make it in your finances. You won't make it in business. You won't make it. You have to let the right things impact you because you will be impacted. And you're either going to be impacted by some racist thing, or you're going to be impacted by what Antifa is doing today, or you're going to be impacted by how many illegal people are flowing into our nation and what are we going to do, or you're going to be impacted and mad over, my God, we got this thing in the nation of Canada. We can't even preach Romans chapter 1 without going to jail, and that's Western civilization now. You're going to be impacted by something, the way your daddy should have treated you that he didn't treat you, the way your parents should have stood with you and they didn't. What's real is you can decide that there are certain things that I'm going to have impact me. Do you guys agree with that? And it just is real. And I want to tell you, there's freedom in that, just in knowing that man, dadgummit, I can let really good things impact me and I don't have to let just bad things impact me. Okay. So in Genesis chapter 12, we have the story of brother Abraham. And before his name was Abraham, his name was Abram. And it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I want to just stop and just say one of the things that God does is he says the same thing that Jesus said. The very last words that were recorded by Jesus before his ascension into heaven was, lo, look for me, right? Lo means look. With the word that we have, look, actually comes from the word lo. Right? We just added another O and a K at the end of it, right? He says, lo, I'm with you always, even into the ends of the earth. What he's saying is get out of the place and go to the end of your map and meet me on the other side. He's saying, look, if you want to find me, you're going to have to pursue me. I'm with you always, but look for me when you get off your map. I'm with you all the time, but I'm not made manifest in your very familiar places. If you want me to be manifest, get off your map. Lo, I'm with you always. That's the first principle. So listen, I'm with you. I'm just as much with you when you do not perceive me as when you do perceive me. Amen? God is just as much with us when we cannot see him as when we can see him. You guys agree with that? But he says, but you can see me when you get off your map. And so here's Abraham. He wants to use brother Abraham as a prototype. But before we came up with the understanding of a prototype, it was first demonstrated through the understanding of a father. A father figure is what a prototype is supposed to be, okay? And God is the one that lined all that up. And Jesus himself came. Whenever Jesus came, he could have came and shown so many different faces of God, but he came to show the Father, so he came as a son. Okay? And he said, this is the prototype. If you want to know what the Father looks like, just look at me. If you want to know what he cares about, just look at what I care about. If you want to know what he says, then just listen to me. And if you want to know how powerful you can be in right relationship with him, let me be the prototype for that as a son. Okay? All the miracles that Jesus did, he did not do as God. He did as a human being in right relationship with Father God. And it's an amazing thing for Jesus himself to say, well, not only can you do these things, but you know what the rest of that is? Greater things than these you shall also do. Why? Because I'm opening up the door for you and there's going to be advancement. Amen. So a prototype, the understanding of a prototype is, hey, I've got this widget, and from this widget, It works perfectly. We're going to build all of our widgets exactly like that. Another understanding of a prototype is a cornerstone. And a cornerstone is one stone that you say, this looks like what the finished product is going to be. And so all the stones have to fit into perfect place so that it fits with this one corner. Are you ready for this? Capstone. Sometimes it's called a capstone. Sometimes it's called a cornerstone. There is only one geometrical building that anybody is aware of that has four sides and also has a capstone. That's called a pyramid, right? If you were to go to Giza, and I've been to Giza, I've seen the Great Pyramid. One of the things that you notice as soon as you see it is, number one, you cannot believe how big it is. It's over 40 stories tall. There is not a building in downtown Fort Worth that is near as tall as the Great Pyramid, which was built over 4,000 years ago. It's tall. I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me. You know, you think of, well, it's probably, you know, 10 stories tall. No, it's over 40. It's bigger than the tallest building in downtown Fort Worth. It's amazing what you can do with slaves. Everybody's like, wow, the Egyptians. Yeah, rain on the Egyptians. I don't like the Egyptians. But nonetheless, it's killer what somebody with a vision and millions of slaves are able to accomplish, right? So it's there and it's still there. But here's the deal. The capstone is missing. The prototype that was the model for how you built the whole thing is missing. And there's actually a scripture for that in the Bible. And I'm telling you, the Great Pyramid does not represent the accomplishments of Egypt. It represents a plan of heaven for the rest of the earth. Okay? It was not built with the wisdom of man. It was built with the wisdom of God, which is why it's still standing. Okay? It's referred to as a pillar in the Bible, a pillar. Okay? I say that to say this, that the chief cornerstone is also, are you ready for this? A rock of offense. The prototype that you're supposed to build your life on is on the other side of a difficult and stressful and painful thing that you're going to have to go through. And the very first part of it is get the heck out, get away from your family, get away from the people that love you, get away from the culture you know, get away from the place that you know, and meet me out there in that other place that I'm not even going, he says, in a land I will show you. I'm not going to tell you now because you don't qualify for it now. You're going to have to get out in order to qualify even of the knowledge of the place that I'm going to bring you to. How offensive is that? What kind of a game plan is that? Who are the people that sit around and go, dude, I know this is how we do stuff. Nobody does that except for God, right? So Abram is called by God himself. And in verse 2, he says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and I will make your name great and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you and in all your families and all the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed. I mean, this is what separates Abram from everybody else. It didn't say, so Abram figured it out. So Abram found a scripture. So Abram got an amen corner. So Abram had board approval. It says, so Abram departed. Wow. What a rock star. What a rock star. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was, catch this guys, 75 years old when he departed. If you think somehow it was different to be 75 then than it is now, no, 75 is 75. And one of the things that happens when you start to become an old codger is you know what you like and you know what you don't like. It's really one of the greatest blessings of getting old is to know what you like and what you don't. I'm telling you, it's one of the greatest blessings that God gives in wisdom is simply the ability to go, no, I'm not gonna mess with that because I don't like that. As simple as that sounds, it's been a profound revelation to me of I just don't get involved in tons of stuff because I've learned I don't like it. And the quicker you learn the things that you like and the things that you don't like, the quicker you'll be in situations that you do like instead of situations that you don't like. And you learn the wisdom of that. The problem with learning the wisdom of that is when you're old, there's stuff you do and there's stuff you don't do anymore. All right? And so like, no, I don't do that. I've done all that. Got the t-shirt and no, I don't even fit that t-shirt anymore. And so God comes to him at a time in his life when he already knew how to live his life and how to make his life work and say, love me enough and wreck your life. Wreck all the potential that you have in this life for the secret potential that I'll show you later. And I will tell you this, you're going to be a blessing in every single nation on the planet Earth. and you're going to be blessed more than anybody else, and you're going to be a greater blessing than anybody else. Now, what are you going to do with that? He said, Mom, Dad, bye. Right? I left home in Arkansas, said goodbye to Mom and Pa, the rest of that song, boom, off he goes. So, I want to say that the place that God calls him to is Canaan, which he describes as a land flowing with milk and honey, right? And he gets there, and there's not one single blade of grass. Not one tree. And he brought a 75-year-old woman with him who did not have any ability to have babies. And the first principle that I want to get out of this, that Scott and I talked about this last week, is if you're going to look at the prototype of Abraham, the first principle that I see out of this is that, let me see exactly how it is, I'm going to say it. God begins with barrenness. If you start off in a fruitful place, you have to get off your mat. And he calls you out of the fruitful place because he's going to give you a different kind of fruit. God begins with barrenness. How many of you guys can already agree with that? You just look at your life and just go, wow. In the very places where I had nothing left, in the very place where I was so mad and so disappointed and so freaked out, in that place, God says, no, it's finally perfect. It's perfect. Let's do this. Let's do this right now. I'm ready for you to be blessed. Now that you have nothing, and now that you're in a place that you don't understand, now that you have no skill sets whatsoever, now that you're in a place where you're completely overwhelmed, that would kill anybody else, perfect. Perfect. Wow. I think the quicker we learn these things, the better off we're going to be. And quit being confused with, maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe I'm just too stupid. I want to tell you, I don't have a problem ever thinking I don't have enough faith. I have a huge problem thinking I'm not smart enough for anything. Constantly. I'm going, God almighty, I wish I was smart. Man, I wish I could figure that out. Man, I wish I had a mind for those things, you know, and just constantly, I have no confidence at all when it comes to, when it comes to being able to figure out things. Because so many times, how I think it's going to work is not how it works. But do I believe God? Oh, the brother believes God. And the brother has had over 30 years of being in a place where if I wasn't saved, I would put a pistol in my mouth. And I've been living like that my whole daggum life. And I've got such victory in my life. All I have to do is just, I just have to believe in God. I don't know what else to say except for, I don't know what else to do except for to believe God. And I want to tell you the truth. I wish I got really excited when God said, get away from everybody that loves you and everything you love and meet me out in this other place. I wish I could tell you that the initial part of that is always, woo, I'm so excited to go through this horror fest, pain bunch of junk I'm about to have to go through. I never think that, but I think I'm going. That's what I think. I think, well, let's go. I mean, dude, there's a whole new covenant, which of course is circumcision, which we don't even need to go there. Who wants to sign up for that? I want you to think about all the things that God asked Abraham to sign up for. And Abraham just kept saying, yes, yes, yes. So what you learn from this principle is this. If God called you into a place, and if you've been trying to get there for years, if you've had it prophesied to you for years and years and years, if you've done everything that you know how to do to be in the right place at the right time for the right season because God gave you the date, and he said it's June 2016, and then you get there, and everything is a failure in that place, that doesn't mean that you're out. It actually means you're in. That's what it means. That's the principle that God says. If you get there, and if it's tough, and if you get there and people you depended on failed you or tried to kill you, and if you get there in that place and you thought you were smart enough to handle it and you're not able to handle it, and if you get there and you think the budget is going to be this, but actually the budget is going to be that, it does not disqualify you. It qualifies you when you meet God in that place because God begins with barrenness. Right on? Okay. I want you guys to turn over to 15. once you turn over to chapter 15. I'm going to give you, there's four principles here, and that's the first one. Here's the second one. Verse 1, and after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Okay, so what does that mean? Before I get off into this, remember, guys, the first time he came to him, he was 75 years old, right? He's 83 now. Okay? I want to just, any of you guys know any 83-year-old dudes? Okay? Yeah, there's, but Otis? Oh, okay. Okay, so your dad's 83. Okay, well, then I'm not going to ask you to comment on, because I was going to say, they're typically rude dudes in a crude mood by the time that they're 83. They know what they like, they know what they don't like, and they don't mind telling you no. And they don't mind telling you yes. And if you say no, they're still going to say yes, right? Like, dude, you got, what happened? You got, oh, yes. Because I've let everybody else take me the other way my whole life, and I ain't doing that anymore. Right? Okay, I'm telling you, this is how human beings progress. There's stuff, you have to know how to partner with the Holy Spirit and how to, in the fact that you're also growing emotionally in how you think about things. And you become certain about certain things. And you better be willing to partner with the Holy Ghost in the things that you're certain about. Well, I'm certain of this, I'll never ever go there again. I'm certain this, I'll never let that happen again. I'm certain of this. And then what happens is, if you're not partnering with the Holy Spirit on that, your book in your old age is going to be like the book of Ecclesiastes that nobody wants to read. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It's all horse crap. That's Solomon, who just says, horse crap, horse crap, horse crap. It's all horse crap. As far as I'm concerned, women, money, clothes, power, horse crap, vanity. It's like, what happened to the dude who wrote Song of Solomon? Oh, he died a long time ago. Right? And we're talking about a man of God. Does God use the book of Ecclesiastes? Oh yeah, man, there's way next level. It just goes to show you that God can use somebody in a really bad place. And Solomon, who wrote the book of Song of Solomon in his early life, was in love. Oh, I look at my love through the lattice. And then he goes off into all these sexual euphemisms of how excited he is, not just about touching her, but actually just thinking about touching her. I mean, over and over and over again, he's like, ooh! By the time he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, he's like, horse crap. I'm telling you, read it. It's there. The book he wrote when he was my age was the book of Proverbs. This is what works. This is what doesn't work. You see the progression of his humanity and how the Holy Spirit is using him to even write scripture through the progression of his own humanity. Okay? So Abraham is now 83 years old. And God comes to him, and I'm going to read it again. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. And I want to stop. I'm sorry to say this, but there's two things that you've got to catch here. Number one, God's not speaking to him personally, and God's not speaking to him in a dream. Now God's speaking to him in a vision, and there's a difference. Sometimes God speaks to him in a dream. Sometimes God speaks to him personally, and sometimes God speaks to him in a vision. And we need to understand the difference. If God is using a different channel to speak to us, what is he saying? Okay? And then he says this. Oh, the word of the Lord came to him. The Hebrew for the word of the Lord came to me actually means this. That's a bad translation. It should say the word of God happened to Abraham. In Hebrew, that's how it's actually translated. Not the word of the Lord came to Abraham, but the word of God happened to Abraham. It's where there's this word and he moves this word onto you, where you become arrested by the Spirit of the Lord with the prophetic utterance of God. Has anybody ever seen that happen? I had that happen to me when I was in Ukraine last year. And God told me, fill up a stadium with 10,000 people. I wasn't looking for that. I wasn't asking for it. I dang sure wasn't asking for it. And I had the word of the Lord say, Troy, is this too hard of a thing for me? And I was like, no, it actually doesn't look like that many people. 10,000 people doesn't look like any more than 3,000 people if the room fits 10,000 people, because a full room is a full room. It's all vanity, vanity. After it's all said and done. It's just a full room is a full room. If it's 5,000 people, you have a 20,000 seat auditorium and only have 8,000 people there, and people will call that a failure. You can have a 3,000 seat auditorium and there be 2,000 seats there and everybody call that a huge success. So it's like, just do what God tells you to do is really what it comes down to, right? And don't try and figure any of that out, because it's all stupid. Well, the word of God happened to me. I was arrested by the Spirit of the Lord. And I mean, I couldn't think of anything else. I couldn't get anything else in my mind. I was trying to enjoy the Bethel concert in Kiev, Ukraine. And I was sitting next to my bride. And I was holding her hand. And I was just trying to spend time with Leanna. And I was trying so hard to do something else. And the word of God happened to me. Okay? So this is what happens to him. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, and I'm your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." I want to just tell you what's happening here. At 83 years old, 8 years later, from when God came to him and said, "Get out," he did go out. He's like, "You know what? Eleazar, who's Damascus, he's having children, and he's my best friend, and he's the guy that apparently is going to be my heir because God told me that he was going to give me children. I don't have any children." So he tells God, he says, "God, I'm starting to get what the plan is now. I thought it was going to be a lot better than it is, but I'm going to dumb it way down. And because it's hard. See, God, you don't expect me to actually bear the burden of this promise now that I'm 83, right? So I'm going to dumb it way down and say, okay, God, well, you didn't do what you said you were going to do, but that's okay. You're God. You can do whatever you want to do. So I'm going to dumb down my expectation of how good you are, and I'm going to give all my inheritance to my servant." Okay, so principle number two is this: avoid the Eleazar solution. Avoid the Eleazar solution. Every single one of us in this room have been guilty of this. And what happens is God Almighty will give us a promise, and God Almighty will tell us something's going to happen. And when it doesn't happen, and when we see that we cannot produce what it is that God's telling us we will produce, we dumb down the promises of God and we hand it off for somebody else to bear. We have to avoid. This is the prototype. Remember, God used Abraham as a prototype. So the first one is, God begins with barrenness. The second one is, we have to avoid the Eleazar solution. Okay, let's go to the next one. The next one is going to be Genesis 16. Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children." Again, their mind is this: God's holding us back. So we're doing something wrong. We've done all that we know to do right, but obviously God's not happy with us. And we have fallen into some kind of judgment from the Lord because we haven't done right. So let's find another way to make this happen. Okay? "Now see, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. Isn't it funny? There's no argument there whatsoever. Can I tell you why there's no argument? Because Hagar was a hottie. She was one of Pharaoh's closest wives. Super, super, super good looking woman. Super good looking woman. And here's what's her crime. Her crime is she's good looking. I mean, what was Sarah's crime whenever she was abducted by the same Pharaoh? She was good looking. Right? Abraham's stud. He don't have no dog for a wife. Man, he's got a good looking woman. He's got a good looking old woman that everybody said, "You're harem material." Right? Okay. So then he looks over her and says, "That sounds like God to me." And off he goes with this new plan from God that came from his wife, who needed her husband to say, "There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. You're not having babies, not because I'm not attracted to you. You're not having babies, not because you're messed up and there's a curse on you. We are doing what it is we're supposed to be doing. You are perfect for the promises of God, and I'm sorry you feel like that." And I feel the Lord. And Abram confirmed her worst suspicions, that he thought that there's something wrong with her. He says, well, have coffee ready for me in the morning. I'm going to go visit the other tent. So he comes back for coffee the next day. It says, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Here she is stepping in the place of God, presenting Eve to Adam and presenting Hagar officially to him. The way that God Almighty presented Eve to Adam and presented her and said, this is your wife. Now she's stepping in the place of God. They've literally abandoned the plans of God at this. They don't have a clue that they've done this. And all Sarah needed was a husband to tell her, there's nothing wrong with you. And he wasn't there. He's like, oh yeah, there's something wrong with you. Yeah, you're right. So she presents her the same way that God Almighty presented Eve to the Lord, to Adam. And says, so he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. And Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave you my maid to embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. She goes, I was screwed up the first time, but now you're way more screwed up than I am. Think about the conflict that's going on in their house. Yeah, you came to me and told me there was something wrong with me. Now I'm telling you, dude, there's something wrong with you, because what doesn't work in my tent works in her tent. Whose responsibility is that? Now these guys are putting each other down. They're making fun of each other's bodies. They're literally despising each other for sexual performance now. And this is supposed to be the most precious part of their marriage. And they're just like, no, you say I'm a loser, you're a worse loser than I am. And Abraham, you know, as a typical boy, he had no idea his wife was going to be mad at him, even though she suggested it. So here's principle number three, avoid the Hagar solution. The Hagar solution is when you believe God for the outcome, but you don't believe God for the process. The Eleazar solution is when you believe God for the ultimate outcome, but it's not really the outcome he set. Now they're at a point, they believe God for the actual outcome, but they don't believe God for the process, that they are actual candidates to be used for that process. See, this is all huge identity issues, all this is. Now, we all know that the child that is conceived out of Hagar is at war to this day, the child that was conceived out of Sarah. And when you get in bed with Hagar, number one, it always seems like a good idea to Sarah, because I'm ready to make something happen. I'm ready to make something happen. But the child that is born through Hagar will forever be at war with the child that is born, which is the actual promise that is born through Sarah. So we have to avoid the Hagar solution. And then the very last one is this. And I'm just going to just go ahead and just tell you what it is, and we'll close on this. It is partner with God in the appointed times. I have a lot to talk about the appointed times, but I'm going to stop it. I'm going to do a whole nother podcast just on appointed times, because that's kind of my gig. And I have a lot of strength there, which is from the Lord. But I can tell you this, that he was 99 whenever God came to him and told him, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. By this time next year, and he was 99. Now, everybody talks about Sarah laughing, and Sarah wasn't even in the tent laughing. Sarah was in the kitchen, and God came to visit him personally. He didn't come to him in a dream. He didn't come to him in a vision. He didn't come to him in a voice. He came to him in personally, face to face, with a couple of angels with him. Some people think that the three of them were actually all three of them the Lord, which is, there's some really weird stuff that I don't really have figured out like that, because sometimes it says, and they said, and sometimes it says, and the Lord said. Sometimes they were all three talking at the same exact time. And then sometimes the one that was obviously God was talking by himself. And I don't know exactly how that works, but it's really far out. And by the way, he's sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he jumps up as a 90-year-old man. He sees him a long way off, and he's like, that's God. Yeah, I know who that is. And he jumps up, and the Bible says he starts stepping and fetching everywhere he goes. Prepare this, prepare that. Let's do this, let's do that, let's do that. The heat of the day, and I've been there, it's about 120 degrees. He's a 99-year-old man in a 120-degree weather, and he jumps up, and his argument is always, my body has no strength left, and look at how he acts when he sees God. Look at how much strength he has. And then the fireworks show up in the tent right after that. Right? Well, it has to do with how passionately he's serving God. The passion that comes from the Lord happens to be connected to our passion that goes towards the Lord. Amen? And then the appointed time came, and he actually said, okay, now I'm going to give you the actual appointed time, okay, within the next 12 months. By the time that we're standing here right now, this year, you're going to be holding a baby boy. And he actually gives him the appointed time. If you're in a process that you know what the outcome is, and God is even telling you what the process is, but you don't know what the timing of it is, you have to avoid Eleazar and you have to avoid Hagar. You have to. And if you're in a time where God says, now is a time to have your baby, and you're barren, remember that the Lord begins in places of barrenness. Okay, I think applause is appropriate. Thank you very much. Okay, so Pastor Jerry, this last week, you gave me a word, and I want you to unpack how that worked.
So someone called me and had a dream and didn't know exactly what it meant. And so I actually talked to Troy, I think it was Thursday. No, it was actually over the weekend, and here's what the dream was. Troy was in a building, and he was doing a meeting. And in this building, there was a glass see-through container that had five people in it. One of the people was his oldest daughter, Megan, in this glass container. Everybody could see them in there. And they were all getting ready to go to a place that nobody's ever been before. And then beside the five that were sitting there, they were all sitting on stools. There was kind of like a black table. And on the black table, it had two things on there. It had the name Sarah and the number 20. And then after a while, after Troy got done speaking and teaching and stuff, all five of them and him left. That's kind of how it ended.
Okay, so that, I can't tell you how significant that dream is to me. And another thing too that you left out is the building that I was in was one I owned, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's a building that you did. I forgot about that.
A building that I didn't know, a place that God had called me to that I have not been yet. It was a place that God had called me to that I had not, that we don't know about yet, right? But God's called me to that place. And that in the midst of all that are five people. And I think that the five people represent the fivefold gifts is what I think. And the reason why my daughter is in it is because she represents my inheritance, the ministry I'm passing down to everybody else, right? The baby that needs to be born, right? And just the fact that that's Megan also means a lot to me. Right, because there's a lot of things with Megan that have to do with all this. And then the other thing was, there was a black book that was open. And guys, one of the studies I did all week long with Robert Henderson was the books of heaven. We've been talking about the books of heaven. I can't wait to start unpacking that with you guys. It is way next level stuff. And that what happens is, prophetically, God writes down your entire destiny in a book. And then he reveals his destiny to you through a walk. And you're judged, not according to this little sin and that little sin, but you're judged according to, did you fulfill the book? Okay? And that's a brand new, I as soon as I heard it, I knew it was right. I thought of 10,000 scriptures that was in it. And when the Bible says, I will not blot out your name out of the book, it's like, nope, nope, didn't do it, 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 didn't do it. Wow. Right? So it doesn't begin this way towards destiny. It comes from destiny towards us, right? And it's not that we are mind-numbed robots. It's up to us if we fulfill the book or not. It's up to us. It's not up to anybody else. God's like, this is the destiny that I have for you. Whenever Jesus stood on the cross and said, it is finished, he wasn't just talking about the law. He was talking about the book. I have fulfilled every jot and every tittle that was prophesied of me. Right on? You guys with me on that? So at the same time that all this is happening, which you guys are very aware of next level warfare that's going on here, and some of it you haven't even really been aware, he calls me and tells me that this person who's real close to him had this dream. And the dream meant so much to me because there was a book that was open in the middle of it and it had two words on it. One was the number 20 and the other was the word Sarah. Sarah, it means this, the expectancy of Sarah. 20 is expectancy. Right on? It's God saying, do not create an Ishmael. Do not create an Eleazar. Walk it all the way through so that the promises of Sarah to have this baby actually happen through you. Right? And your inheritance is real. You've already seen miracle birthing, Megan, happen, and miracle inheritance happen before. You've already seen it. The testimony is already there. I've written it all down in the book. All you got to do is walk in. It's going to happen. It was way next level word for me. Guys, welcome back to the studio here. I hope that you enjoyed that. This is stuff that we live by. This, you know, I don't get up and just tell a bunch of stories. You know, I get up and tell my own story. This is what God is doing with me. This is what the Lord is talking to me about right now. So this, of course, is what we're talking to all of the staff here about. If you'd like to follow me on YouTube or if you want to follow me on the web, just go to troybrewer.com. All the information is there. You can call 877-413-0888. Don't forget that if you have not subscribed to this, you're welcome to do that because we send out a podcast like this every single week. And then we also have it on our worldwide network of radio stations that we air our podcast broadcast every single Friday. And if we're not in your local neck of the woods, that doesn't matter. Again, you can just subscribe, you know, Spotify or iHeartRadio or any of those places. Friends, thank you so much for joining me. I'd love to see you next week. If you're ever in Dallas-Fort Worth, be sure and come by Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. And friends, call you guys the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. This is Troy Brewer signing out.